Greetings, everybody. Good to be together for Wednesday night service. And we're going to begin with a video. It's a video that's based on words that I spoke at the end of a service at Sunrise recently. And then we're going to move from there to a presentation from several folks who I'll announce in a little bit. Then we'll have a chance to have some small groups. I'll say a few words and then we'll have a chance to close our evening. So with that, let's share the video. And oh, I should mention and give thanks to Roshana who put this together with some brilliant artistry. Thank you, Roshana. Thank you, Roshana, for that beautiful artistry. It's on the Sunrise Ranch Facebook page, I believe, as well as my own. I've asked three people to speak on a theme and speak for about 5 minutes each. They are Bruce and Rachel and Oren. And the theme they'll be speaking on is this: what it means to me to have my heart and soul melted by the loving nature of divine presence. So we look forward to what you three have to say. Over to you, Bruce.
All right, well, I want to begin by saying how gratified and how nourished I am by my association with Emissaries of Divine Light and the almost 3 years I've spent involved in the programming here at Sunrise Ranch, because we are such a wildly interfaith group. I have heard God and the concept of the divine referred to in so many different ways here. The beautiful Hebrew words that David brought at a service, Elohim, and El Shaddai. We've heard from Adam bringing things from the Bhagavad Gita and from Eastern philosophy. We've heard Karen Boyett and Oren bringing some very, very rich Jewish history and ceremony and just education for us. And of course, we've heard of spiritual leaders of every kind from all time, all the way up to the Beatles, my personal spiritual teachers. But we've heard of Jesus, we've heard of Krishna here, we've talked of Martin Luther King and Gandhi, Mother Mary, you know, it goes on and on and on. And we've heard the Bible analyzed in such a progressive way, as a really a code book to human psychology and to the human experience. Very revolutionary, I think. The very fact that I'm speaking to you at a service, someone as out of the box as me, says a lot about this place. So as I thought about the question at hand of how has my heart and soul been melted by the presence and experience of the divine, I thought of all of the versions of God that we all work with. And I thought about, even here in our services, I've heard of God as a he, as someone in, actually above us, coming into our lives, steering events and loving us in a personal way. I've heard of God in the feminine. I've heard of referred to as she and Mother God. And of course, now we're working with the concept of Mother and Father God, which I just think is so progressive and so just countercultural, really. A multiplicity of gods. God is almost an action. And God is an act of love, that the male and female come together, essentially making love to create this world, and that we are all creatures of love. Just amazing to me. And then, of course, the idea of God as an energy, the divine as a spirit, as something that imbues, that not only creates, but imbues everything in creation. In fact, God is everything. The concept that we are God, butterflies are God, clouds, oceans, rivers, cars, factories, everything in creation is God. And for me, that's it. I mean, and this is just my take on it all. I don't know if there's an afterlife. I don't know if there's heaven and hell. I don't know if God can be anthropomorphized in any way. And when I look out at the galaxy, when I look into space, I see something so big that I suspect that the truth is beyond my ability to comprehend. And I'm okay with that. I trust in that. And what I do know is that I'm part of a miracle. I have been gifted with the experience of being a pair of eyes that can take in all of this. In fact, I was in a small group a week or two ago with Jeannie Martin and Clive, and Clive quoted someone from the past who said, "When I look at a tree, I am a tree looking at itself through my eyes." And I just thought, that is the gift that we all have. Additionally, we are gifted with the ability to shape our realities, to reach others, to spread love and meaning to one another. So I thought, what does it mean to me to be melted by that gift and by that experience and by that connection to whatever the source of this incredible miracle is that I am living up to that gift. I am reciprocating with whatever that miracle is. I am expressing to the fullest that gift that has been so beautifully bestowed upon us all to walk out into that holographic, three-dimensional reality and interact and shape and love and give back. So that is my form of melting to the divine.
Thank you so much, Bruce. That was amazing. I was tuning in on my phone and really listening to the power of softness that was being shared and the magic of receptivity. And when I go into my own inner exploration of what it means to have my heart and my soul melted by the loving presence and the loving nature of divine presence, I can't help but notice inside of me when I think of it that it's not just a melting. It's allowing myself to be completely decimated by that power and by that loving nature and what that does to me on a cellular structure and on a cellular level, when I really let myself give myself full permission to experience the supreme magnitude of love that chooses to reveal itself as soon as I let myself be aware of it. Because one thing that I notice is that it's always there. It's actually always there, but I always have a choice on if I choose to acknowledge its majesty. And if I choose to sit at the hem of that majesty and allow myself to be bathed by that presence. And when I find myself in that space of fully receiving that softness, that full receptivity, the level of energy and knowing and trusting the things that I don't know come soaring in at full magnitude. And when things come up, like 12-year-old little boys who are thirsty and is outside playing with his friend Leon before he leaves and doing what they do as little boys, as we're talking about divine presence, and as the fidgeting continues that I'm surrounded by, it's just great. Because if you heard, he said, all right, love you. So even though just that steady pulse of what it meant to have the divine presence, just letting it seep in and hopefully something comes out that's meaningful, then what is the reciprocity of that is always love. It's always grace. It's always trusting and leaning in, even when it's uncomfortable. Leaning in even when it's not perfect. It's about letting your heart melt in such a way and letting your soul melt in such a way that you actually become all of the things that it melts into. If that makes any sense whatsoever, when you allow your heart and your soul to melt, there's no separation between the things that are named separate outside of ourselves, like nature or the stars or even other people or different communities or even different political parties or whatever it is that we want to look at. And from that place, there's no wrongdoing. There's no needing to have to fix any of the pieces. And the level of allowing that is available from that place becomes the gift of presence. Becomes the gift of presence. And I know for me, when I allow myself to experience that, there's just an exquisite giddiness that I feel, because I feel like I am being one with the parts of life that I admire its aliveness in, and then I get to become a part of that dance of aliveness and experience the joy and the beauty of that. And when I experience the profound level of beauty that's available in those moments, then the loving nature has no other place to go but to exude out of all of of my being and into everything I want to create and say and do and experience. And so with that, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity to share with you this evening, and I now offer it up to our next speaker.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What is it like to have my heart and soul melted by the loving presence of the divine? I mean, how about this moment? Hearing you guys and seeing David's slideshow, and woo, I'm just so full and so overflowing. And I mean, really, what is there left but to be it? You know, it's like everything that's been said so much encapsulates the essences of that, that when my heart and soul is melted by that loving presence of what's here now, how can I not but just fall into the silence, fall into the peace and fall into the loving giving that we are sharing right now with each other. What a miracle. What a miracle to be together in this way, calling to the vastness that we are and stepping through that door of not just calling to it, not just being melted by it, not just passively receiving it, but stepping through the threshold of the golden veil and being that together. How can we not fall into love? How can we not fall into self-compassion? How can we not fall into just this radiant, bubbling, blissful joy that we are and give it? Like, that was my main thought around this, of what does it mean to have my heart and soul melted by divine presence is when I'm giving it. I had the opportunity today to, this evening, running to the bank to just take care of some things and sitting down with the banker, and he shared that he had a terrible yellow jacket sting on his ankle for the last 10 days that he can't stop scratching. So when we were done with all of our banking, I started banking in a different way by giving of the divine. And I said, you know, how would you like to participate in a little 2-minute experiment around your yellow jacket sting? And of course, I say, of course, not because of him, but because of him. But after a attunement experience, his ankle wasn't itching anymore. And, you know, he was just in such awe and just completely blown away. And what he said really touched me was, he said, "I've made peace with all that I'm ignorant of. I've made peace with all that I'm ignorant of." Just this sense of awe coming from him about this art of attunement that he wasn't aware of, but yet he got to experience firsthand and be melted by, and to have the experience of like standing in the presence of like a vastness of the presence of what's possible when two people are sharing in the presence of vastness. And this giving, I'm calling it, you know, it's unconditional. It can happen in every moment. Like, I can call it on an ontological basis. No matter what we're doing, no matter what we're saying, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what's going on, no matter how many times the phone's ringing when we're trying to speak, no matter if the dog's coming up for attention or the boy's coming up for attention, you know, it's like love is here, the vastness is here, and it's melting everything in our willingness to give it. And in that melting, I, as a self, am completely consumed. And I would suggest that none of us would really know joy, would really know happiness, would really know the end of suffering until we get to that point where we are absolutely consumed by our own giving, by our own giving out, financial offerings, spiritual offerings, the offering of our presence, the offering of the truth of being that is radiating light and love with unity and strength and wisdom and joy. And in that way, like one of the lines in David's slideshow is like, that forgiveness is instant and total and complete with full responsibility. In that manner, we're reborn into pure innocence that has no past, has no future. It's just present and giving. And what greater joy is there than to be melted in such loving presence of the divine that we are now? I offer overflowing gratitude for this moment together. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Warren. And thank you to Bruce and to Rachel as well. We're going to go into some small groups of three around this question or invitation. Share an experience of the melting of your own heart and soul. Simply that, share an experience of the melting of your own heart and soul. So we'll take 3 minutes each on this, and Jim's gonna do his magic. Welcome back, everybody. It was a beautiful thing, at least for me. Hope it was for you too, to share that way with others. To share what melts my own heart and to listen to what that is for other people. Beautiful. I'd like to find a way to continue with you in a meditation over some things, and we'll just see where it goes. So I invite you to be in the meditation with me and just see what unfolds. I want to begin with a word that we don't use that much, I don't think, in common parlance these days. It's not altogether unfamiliar, for sure. The word is dignity. Dignity. What does dignity mean to you? It can have some surfacey kinds of connotations. You could think of a dignified person that might be fairly cultural and social and surface. I did look up the origin of the word. The origin of it has something to do with honor and also something to do with fitting. So if you're dignified in some way, you're fitting in whatever the context you're thinking of. Somebody who's dignified is that. Somebody who has dignity fits. I'm thinking of dignity perhaps in the highest sense of the word, not just a social dignity or cultural dignity, but a personal dignity, a personal knowing of dignity, a spiritual dignity. There's a song in our Emissary Songbook, which we haven't sung in a long time, in my experience. There's a line in it that uses the word dignity. I'm going to see if I can get it. Remember the line. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, in this thy holy place, thy something and thy holy dignity are known. I had those other words just before, but gone from me. But in this thy holy place, there's a regal dignity that's known. And isn't that true? That when we come to a place of stillness, place of peace, a place of spiritual centering and prayer, that we touch a dignity, presence, something honorable. And we can feel honored by the presence of that. We can feel the grace of its honor that is easily bestowed upon us when we're open to it. The word Lord is certainly from religious vocabulary. It's in the Bible frequently, translated from various Hebrew words. I'd like to redeem the word Lord, take it out of its medieval context, and perhaps think of it simply as Lord of my soul, that which reigns over my soul, that gives my soul dignity. There's a pop song, I think Melissa sang it recently, it was about the greatest love of all. In the song is the line, they can't take away my dignity. They can't take away my dignity. Well, the world makes a good attempt anyway to take away our dignity. There is something undignified about the world that we live in, at least many of the elements of it. Currently, we have an American president who lacks dignity. Most of you probably know the expression, don't wrestle with a pig. You get muddy, or you both get muddy, and the pig likes it. Maybe that's something about how we keep our dignity in a world that in so many ways has lost its. We don't get it. We don't wrestle with the undignified elements of the world in which we live. And if we do, we lose our dignity. The truth is nobody can take our dignity from us. We can give it away. We can become undignified, but only if we choose to. So nothing that can happen to us, nothing that can be said about us can change our dignity unless we choose to let it. It's interesting that the origin of the word has to do with fitting. So to me, that speaks about pattern. There's a pattern of things. And we're dignified, we have dignity when we're accepting of that pattern and we know our place in it. And then something else happens. We not only touch that dignity and then come to know it for ourselves, but we then express and embody that dignity. And with that dignity comes the pattern into which we have fit, that we've come to know ourselves as being a part of the divine pattern, truly. And then there is the ordering factor, the ordering power that is unleashed in our own life, in our own expression and embodiment of ourselves. A way to speak about all this is to say that it's about reciprocity. It is rather amazing when you see the patterns of reciprocity to see how much it just all comes back to that. It's us reciprocating with the dignity of the Lord of our soul. So it's making ourselves available to that and receiving it, and then becoming that and honoring it, honoring that dignity. And then it's paying it forward by being it, and then allowing the process of reciprocity, the cycles of reciprocity, to work out in our life. Those cycles require that we don't demand anything of anybody or of the world in which we live. We bring what we bring, and what returns, what reciprocates, reciprocates. And we go with that. So what is it that does come back for any one of us in our lives? We lose our dignity if we don't see what's coming back, or if we fret about what's not coming back, but then don't see what is. So we're here to participate in the cycles of reciprocity. And in the dignity, in keeping our dignity, we bring dignity to the world that we inhabit. We have the honor and the privilege of sharing that with others. So I think at this point, I would like to simply open up this meditation for another 5 minutes to see if there might be others who would like to share something to continue in it.
Well, David, when I think of dignity, I think of some of the times that I spent with Martin, a man who really exemplified dignity, regal dignity, nobility, even a kind of royalty, I would say. In fact, he was known as Lord Exeter, and he really lived up to all of that. There was such power in his presence. And when he would, for example, come into what was then the West Chapel, or a little later in the Dome Chapel, to provide a service, you just knew that something great was about to happen. This man had such power. And yet, I remember at the end of one of the classes that I took, it was the 1980 assembly, and at one of the classes that he presented, he looked directly at me and in effect said, "Gary, you too can be where I am. I want you to be with me. You too can express that same dignity, that same power of presence that I can. So come forth and do that." So those are some of the times that I had with Martin, a man of tremendous dignity, nobility, and as I say, even royalty.
David, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate your words, and it moves deeply in me. In the sense that we experience dignity every day in our way. And in that expression is the Lord. And it comes in the word and it comes in the action. And this pattern of the fitting of the rightness of things is paramount in our expression. And I so appreciate what you have offered tonight and what we have experienced tonight. Thank you.
David, I had the privilege of living with some of the Diné people who we call Navajo down in the Four Corners area, not so far from Colorado, and was interviewing some of the elders and the elders' elders. And there was a moment where the whole room went silent, and a man named Thomas Littlebin, one of the elders, came into the room, but it went silent before he came in. And I later asked my guide and translator, "So why was that?" He said, "This man has so much mana, so much substance, that it precedes him into the room." And there was a certain deep recognition there of the radiance, and when he came to the room, it was pure dignity. Something I think of in my experience that makes dignity ring true is the person will not compromise their standards of wholesomeness, integrity, and the royal divine expression that they have. No matter what the circumstance, the standards will not be lowered. And thus the dignity rings true and it becomes character. Thank you.
I remember many examples, as Jerry did, of Martin, and he exemplified and taught us how to respect everybody and carry a high level of vision for other people. There were people who came here that might have joked at the time. No one was being made fun of, but joked at the time that the lame, the blind, and the halt had showed up. And Martin, we inherited from Martin this vision to respect everyone from what they bring and see the highest in them and not this little stuff that seemed to be in the way that was so out of it culture-wise, but had that dignity to see greatness in each person. Just quietly acknowledge that and emphasize that. With presence, not so much with a lot of words, but with the presence.
Thank you, Bob. So to close our evening, there's two things we're going to have an opportunity to do. The first is to sing evening hymn. So we have a recording of the Emissary Choir singing it in the words. Some of us are familiar with it, so we can sing right along. Others aren't, so you can simply enjoy the music. And if you learn the tune, you can sing along. By the way, I think I do remember that word that I missed, which was glory. Thy glory and thy regal dignity are known. So we'll have evening hymn, and then we have a short slideshow. It's from slides I took of a sunset here around the reservoir, and there's some poetry to it and some music as well. So that will close our evening. Thank you.
Oh.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Perfect message. Thank you.
See you later, y'all.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Phyllis. Good morning, all. And thank you, Aaron.
Hey, Ruth. Mm-hmm.
Jim. Mm.
Hey, Ruth.
JJ.
Hello.
Samuel, Sarah, Lindell.